Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. This video I'm commenting on the possibility of Syria after Assad, because Dr. Bashir al-Assad has ruled that country as president since the year 2000. His late father, Hafiz al-Assad, ruled it since 1970. So that's over half a century of Assad dynasty rule, and looks like there shan't be a third dynast. So I'm not saying for sure that the Assad regime is going to fall, but I give it quite a high chance, like sort of 40% within the next month. So it's extraordinary that the insurgents have made these dramatic gains and nobody saw it coming to the outskirts of Damascus. It's still possible they could be beaten back. There is exhaustion, certainly on the Assad's side, said to be highly demoralized. And people, moderate people, are disaffected because he just refused to negotiate. The Turks sometimes said, you've got to parley with the other side to make significant concessions. He never, ever does. And I remember in 2010, Assad says, that's it, we're fighting on, not giving up, no way. Russia said it was four square behind him. And Qatar, Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, for the very first time, he publicly acknowledged there is a possibility of a Syria without Assad. And I remember 2010 when this broke out, they said that there was a back channel between some of the rebels and the Russian Federation saying, you know, if we win, we'll let you retain your two naval bases in Syria with its air bases, so long as you don't help Assad. But of course, Russia did help Assad and that wasn't happening. Is the same message being transmitted right now? I don't know. But I mean, what's more important to Russia, retaining bases in Syria or retaining Assad? Well, clearly it's the bases. They don't have to care about Assad that much, though he has been helpful for them. You know, the Syrian Arab Republic being one of only four countries besides Russia to vote for Russia's position on the Ukraine in the United Nations General Assembly. But if Assad falls, it doesn't necessarily make life better. Now, Assad is a very, very cruel tyrant who has willfully murdered thousands of his own people. And I really mean thousands, by deliberately launching these poison gas attacks on rebel-held areas, killing mostly civilians. Obviously, his torture chambers are full. Or like at Hama, way back in the early 1980s, when there was an Islamist uprising, admittedly, al-Assad was a teenager at the time. His father, or particularly his late uncle, Rifat, had the city surrounded. And they said, we will just simply kill every single man, woman, and child. Rebel or not, we'll kill every single last one. And then we know we got all of them. There's no chance anybody escaped. No baby's going to grow up to avenge his parents. They're all dead. And that is a measure of the sort of regime we're dealing with. But if he falls, I mean, there's obviously Assad's propaganda saying everybody against us is a bit like Al-Qaeda. But that's an exaggeration. But there is some truth in it. Some of them are Al-Qaeda types, would want the caliphate and would obviously want no rights for women, want to exterminate Christians, maybe the Shia minority, of which Assad is one, the Druze and so forth. And there are also Kurdish separatists. Remember, Kurdistan has been a political reality in northern Iraq since 1991, several years ago, declared independence, but no one recognized it as independent. And the northeast corner of Syria has got a Kurdish majority as well. They've mostly stayed out of this conflict by declaring their neutrality. They won't support the Assad regime, nor will they fight against it. Okay, so they would like independence, whether de facto or de jure, to link up with the Kurds in northern Iraq, which they've largely done already. There's Turkoman ethnic minority who Turkey wants to save. And Turkey is illegally occupying a bit of northern Syria, have done for a decade. Turkey would like to help them out. Would they even like to absorb some Turkish territory? What else? So they certainly don't want the Kurds to be independent, because there are an awful lot of Kurds in eastern Turkey or south of Lake Van. And so Turkey, if Kurdistan will become a reality, the land where the Kurds are a majority become their independent home, Turkey would lose up to a quarter of its land, and no country willingly loses territory. So the Turks would pile in to try and crush the Kurds, to be able to protect the Turkomans, try and have some government in Damascus, which is acceptable to them, a marionette insofar as possible. Who's backing the rebels, especially the Islamist ones? Nobody's saying Saudi Arabia, but presumably is. Maybe Qatar as well. The odd thing about the Qataris is sometimes backing rebels and fighting for democracy at home, abroad, despite having none at home. So the country might well fragment. Even Assad is gone. Remnants of the regime would back one side or other. And he's got a very fractious relationship with Turkey. It didn't used to be that bad before 2010. So I say the Kurds would be one side, the Turkmens with the Turkish army behind them, and there'd be some sort of people a bit like, well, this Hayat Tahrir on another side, the Islamists. I'm not sure where the minorities would go. The Iranians are not sending anybody, but the regime remnants something. So the country may well split into four areas, unofficially split into four countries. The civil war might go on. Bear in mind, there's been a civil war there for 13 and a half years. One cannot go from that sort of bloody anarchy to sweetness and light immediately. But there's going to be peace, it's all going to work well. And so there's going to be democracy. They never ever had it before. What makes anyone think they're going to have it now? That's, it takes centuries to evolve. The society has been so brutalized. There are millions of refugees. Now, Turkey would like to see peace and order there, obviously in no independent Kurdistan. They'd like to be able to expel the 3 million Syrian refugees who are in Turkey. Lebanon's almost collapsing under Syrian refugees, almost half the population. Jordan's taken quite a few. Even Iraq has taken a few. They would like to be able to return them. Peace and prosperity. How about Israel? They certainly don't want a strong Syria that could oppose them, could attack them. Israel wants to keep the Golan Heights. There are Israeli airstrikes in Syria all the time. We hear very little bit about this. The public just got bored of the Syrian civil war. And it's extraordinary how the rebels have made this breakthrough. Obviously, Saudi Arabia armed, funded, trained the rebels, released people from prison, even those on death row, in return for going to fight in Syria against the Assad regime when there's the al-Nusra Front and so on. Or indeed ISIS, the Islamic State in Syria and al-Shams, sorry, in Syria and Iraq, al-Shams being Syria in Arabic, as in the sun. So they would want a regime that's amenable to them. Even Saudi Arabia has liberalized a bit. And this is a very difficult thing. So constant warfare, perhaps Israel would see that's good to keep the Syrians divided and enfeebled. And to endorse the Zionist entity with the kiss of death in Syrian politics. So it's difficult to see. It's difficult to see a very good outcome. And yes, though Assad is horrific, some of his enemies are even worse. And the Free Syrian Army, or what they call themselves the National Syrian Army these days, they're probably the best bet for Syria, but I think there are probably too few of them, and they're just not savage enough. And sadly, it's the cruelest people often win. Those are just so utterly ruthless. So I don't see a particularly good outcome coming from this, sadly. I wish I could say I was optimistic, but it might be even worse than it is now. But for the country to simply fragment and Turkey to control part of it might be better than what they got now. The Kurds, if they got independent, wouldn't object to that. You know, Turkey certainly would. And I'm not sure whether regime remnants could carry on. I mean, they could carry on ruling a bit of the country, the mountainous areas or something like that. And, you know, at one stage, Assad controlled only about 35% of his territory. And then quite recently, he was controlling a lot more, like 60%. And the Saudi Arabians several years ago seemed to have tacitly acknowledged that they'd lost in Syria. They and the Russians backed opposite sides. And the Saudis seem to say, let's just concentrate on Yemen. That actually borders us. Syria doesn't. And even then, Saudi Arabia, despite using its air force, has not been able to achieve an outright victory for the side it's backing in that civil war. So, goodness. Difficult to say what's happening. It's not going to be a terribly good outcome. So Russia would defend their bases if they possibly can, because they don't. They're the only base outside the former Soviet Union they've got, and they've got space with the agreement of the Syrian regime, but then maybe try and make an accommodation with the new one. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, George Callahan, 790@gmail.com. Goodbye.